Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus was invited to the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisee. This probably would have been somebody who was a member of the Sanhedrin. And the Pharisees, well, they're watching him. They're watching Jesus very closely, looking for an opportunity to catch him. Not watching him to follow his example, but watching him to give him a gotcha. Well, it's almost as if they're the media. And now walks into this party that the Pharisee is having, a man with dropsy. Now, if you don't know what dropsy is, that's a disease. Well, it's not really a disease. It's a symptom of a disease. It's a swelling caused by water pockets collecting in the body tissue. It's commonly referred to as edema and was viewed by many at the time of Jesus to be proof of an immoral life, particularly an adulterous immoral life. We know that edema is not a disease, but rather symptoms of various illnesses or diseases. The swelling may be in different parts of the body depending on the underlying illness, like congestive heart failure or obesity or kidney failure. Our text mentions nothing of the man being an adulterer, but it is clear due to the dropsy that this man is sick. Yet the main point of the text is summed up in this one statement from Jesus. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And like any public class, when a question has been asked, much like confirmation that will be taking place starting again on Wednesday, you ask the question and all of a sudden no one talks. It's the easiest way to quiet down a classroom of kids. They'll be talking over you while you're trying to teach, but ask a question and they become silent. And this is what happens with the Pharisees. Maybe they knew the old saying, it's better to be silent and thought a fool than to speak and leave no doubt. But the Pharisees should have had they should have had a whole lot to say on this matter when Jesus asked. For they had taught 39 prohibited rules for keeping the Sabbath. This all comes out of the Mishnah, which prohibits such things as extinguishing candles. So today, when you put out the candles, you've broken the Sabbath. Sorry. Or lowering the flame on a lamp, or finishing something, anything. Writing, cooking, washing, sewing, transporting an object between a private domain and a public domain, or for a distance of 4 cubits. And if you don't measure by cubits anymore, that's about 6 feet. Just to give you a taste of the silliness of the 39 prohibited rules. By keeping these 39 rules, the Pharisees believed that they were keeping the Sabbath. Or at least they were giving themselves excuses not to do things needed on the Sabbath. So their silence to Jesus' question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not, shows them their own hypocrisy. This sick man comes before Jesus and Luke records no faith-filled request, Lord, have mercy on me. Luke simply says, and behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And as I've already said, those at the table would have been pointing at him, whether they used their fingers or not. Look at this public sinner who comes in front of Jesus. In response to their silence, Jesus asks a question to show everyone at the table their hypocrisy. He says, which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? What Jesus is asking is, are you so caught up in your man-made rules that you wouldn't break all of them in a second to help yourself? This rebuke hurts. Because this rebuke is not just directed at the Pharisees at the table, but the Pharisee inside of every one of us. We often fall in the trap of turning our faith into a checkoff list, a to-do list, Went to church. Check. Got that done. Prayed before I ate. Check. Look at me. I'm a good guy. We turn our faith into faith and faith, which leads to faith that is only based on our feelings, making everything relative to our fickle mindset, which is why we have so many conflicting teachings within what is called Christianity today. Think about this. Just in the past couple of weeks, a convention took place in Milwaukee of another Lutheran church body, not the Missouri Synod. And in that church body, they had a resolution. The resolution was brought forward to say basically that God really doesn't say what His opinion is on other religions, and therefore we can't say what His opinion is on other religions. And they had representatives at the front of the convention hall representing these other religions. Not other Christian denominations, other religions, Muslim, Hindu, so on. You follow me? A layperson at the convention stands up and he tries to get the line removed from the resolution that says that God hasn't really had any statement on these other religions. And he asserts Jesus' statement, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Almost 1,000 people in the convention. 27 people voted in favor of his resolution. 95% of the convention voted it down, as if God has no opinion on other religions. If you're interested in hearing this young man's story, I recommend going to Issues, etc. and listening to it. It's quite sad. This is a supposedly Christian church body. Now, granted, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod called it heterodox back in 2000, and they just proved ever again that we were right. But the pastors in the room were mad at the young man for bringing up the Bible, for quoting Jesus, for trying to correct the problem. They said, you're giving us a black eye in front of our friends. How sad is this? What's even sadder is there's some within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that would have gone along with the rest. I hope and pray none of you are part of that. For God says, "I am a jealous God, and He will not share His glory with anyone." The Christian faith, by its very nature, flows from Jesus and is focused on Jesus and His Word. Therefore, all who study God's Word, all who pray, all who sing hymns, they're all done to strengthen our faith and guide us to the reception of God's gifts here in the divine service, where all of God's gifts are offered to you through Jesus, and in Jesus' forgiveness, life and salvation are yours. And only in Jesus. Yet still, I have heard people say from time to time, "I'm just not getting anything out of going to church." Now, I know I'm known for speaking softly and not being clear in what I say. So I'm going to state this as clearly as I can. If you feel you got nothing out of the services of God's house, I can assure you, you got exactly what you put into it out. Not only that, but you can't possibly be taking your sins seriously. And you must have a very low value for the Word of God. The historic liturgy does what Jesus is doing in our text. It drives all sinners to approach God in true humility, not looking for honor or praise, but rather to take on a posture of the publican who wouldn't even look up to heaven but beat his chest and said, "Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner, a sinner," as we confess today with the confession and absolution in divine service setting 4. I am that sinner. You are those sinners. And only the mercy of God and Jesus Christ can help us. It saves us, redeems us, restores us. So to drive home this point, Jesus continues teaching. "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And then he looks at them and talks about, well, having a feast. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. These two accounts are driving home this point. It's summed up in verse 11. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In these two accounts, Jesus is illustrating how pride leads to humiliation. And I know it is hard on us to wait for others to praise God for our service. No matter what others say or do, you see, our greatest promotion, our greatest praise is when the Heavenly Father calls you His beloved child. And that took place at a font like this, where you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and made an heir of the kingdom of heaven. This is all gift in Christ through Jesus' death and resurrection. In that we are joined in baptism, in absolution, as our sins were forgiven today, in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and at our Lord's table, where in with and under this bread and wine, Christ brings you His very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins and the certainty of your salvation. Through these means of grace, we are joined to Jesus' death and resurrection. In fact, they are where we die and rise with Jesus each day. Despite the fact that because of sin, we feel like, well, that we can be like God, yet by God's grace through faith, we have been granted repentance and faith in the only begotten Son of the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus takes the poor in spirit and gives them the kingdom of heaven. He takes those who mourn and gives them His comfort of life and it everlasting. And those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. As Jesus provides all of this for those who trust in Him alone. For Jesus is the one who invites those who can never pay back, that is, you and me, to come today and partake of the foretaste of the feast that is to come with the food of forgiveness that is offered. Jesus calls for all of us who are seated far away from the glory that is to come up and be with the groom and to rejoice now and forever in His eternal marriage feast. Jesus the guest once again proves to be Jesus the host, who willingly gave up everything, including His own life, to die our death, dying for our sins on the cross. And those who have been crucified with Jesus will rise to eternal life with Christ Jesus. May our eyes ever be focused on the glory Jesus gives through His death and resurrection. For this glory is not the glory we receive here on earth that passes away as soon as we're dead. For earthly glory is but an instant, but the eternal glory that only Jesus can provide. For you see, dear friends in Christ, you may not feel it, but you are healed. Your soul, that which was dead in sin, has been raised with Christ Jesus. You are healed, for your sins are forgiven. Life and eternal is your reward. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.